It's always very exciting for me to talk about generators. If it weren't for my understanding of the potential of generators, I don't think I ever would have had the courage to do the work that had to be done to get the knowledge out. It was generators that gave me hope. There was this part of me that looked out at the not-self world and wondered why there would be such an irony of, you know, trying to shatter all of that dysfunction. And the very idea of generator, it just seemed like all those stories about how much gold is in the ocean. And all you have to do is figure out, you know, just how to get there. And there were all these generators, all this incredible life force, totally dysfunctional, entirely not self. And the byproduct was the world that I had to live in. And it seemed to me that all I had to do was wait along my fractal line for those generators to come into my life and to transform them. Oh, the horror of the not-self. I don't think that there is anything easier. I don't really mean, well, let's say simpler, it's better language. I don't think there's anything simpler than responding. It's so perfect. It's so perfect. I mean, it's everything that every Eastern philosopher has ever tried to teach anyone, ever. It is the perfection of mechanical surrender. It is an absolute. It's so perfect. I mean, it's so perfect. And it's so difficult to get that across. It's so perfect. It is this enormous vanity that we have to be in control of our lives. It is an incredible vanity. And it is the sickness of the not-self. The not-self does not want to surrender, doesn't want to surrender to, you know? It's not what it wants. And that's what everybody lives. And this perfection, because it's perfection. I mean, everything about life is that it delivers, not that we take. I mean, generators are the metaphor of the most profound and deepest spiritual understanding of being. They are the essence of being. I'm going to show you that because I'm going to show you that through auras. I mean, they're the essence of being. I mean, without them, with the minor exception of reflectors, without them, there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing. They take us all in. You know, if you look at these aura types, and you look at the generator type, and you see that the generator type is open and enveloping, think about what the aura really is. You know, in the illustration you have this, you know, this spiraling down to the G-center, to the magnetic monopole, to this absolutely extraordinary thing. I mean, you know, this is the great projecting machine. It projects a life. You know, it holds together that illusion of separateness, and it holds together the energy field, but the energy field is held together beyond what is the illusion of the surface, what we call our aura. The aura is the extremity of the pull of the personal magnetic monopole to hold you together in your illusion. And in the generator aura is the most porous of all the auras. See, I could never understand why it was so damn difficult to wake up generators. I mean, it would seem simple, you know. I mean, all you got to do is respond. Oh yeah, I know that there are dilemmas attached with all of that. But at the same time, all it calls for is experiment. And being the archetypal energy type, the experiment can yield results almost instantaneously. What gets in the way? What gets in the way? It is the very aura. See, not only are generators an archetype of what life is, but they are also the most giving of life. I mean, they bring the breath of life into each and every one of us. They do. Which is why it's such a tragedy that they're so fucked up. I mean, it's just one of those great tragedies. They are the life force. And we know that we live in a binary. It's very easy to figure out what the other side is. How disastrous it is. Just look at the world around you. The world around you is not the fault of the program. The world around you is the direct byproduct of every generator on this planet's life. You know, the rest of us non-generators, we just live off the field. It's the generators that create this world. You know, this mystical name for generators as builders. Well, they do every breath. I mean, every breath. It's one of the most extraordinary things for me about understanding what a generator is. And seeing clearly that the distortion that is there on the planet, you know, this is all about the generator, and it's not about blame or fault. There's no choice in that. They carry the burden. They carry the burden. Because after all, in not operating correctly, they create a world that is so difficult for them to operate in anyway. I mean, it's not like everybody else is the victim. You know, there's this cosmic, ironic masochism in it all. And you see, it's so difficult to stop initiating this not-self-mind. And here you have this aura that is so open and porous. It envelops. It takes everything in. So the generator, as a counterpoint to the simplicity and perfection of its correctness, has to deal with the deepest penetration of the other. Deepest. Nobody gets conditioned more deeply than generators. No one. No one. It's the other side of being the life force. Is that what you envelop, you take in a very deep way. If we look at the other auras, if you look at the other energy type, the manifestor, you see that the manifestor has a closed and repelling aura. It is closed to the generator. I will show you how that works. It's very strange. Because the generator always envelops. If you look at the reflector, you see that the reflector is resistant. As a matter of fact, reflectors don't live off generators. They live off the program. But they are a minority. And when you're dealing with projectors, nobody penetrates the generator deeper. We all know the generator projections about each other. I mean, sometimes I find it very amusing, other times I get slightly concerned. You know, here is the ultimate relationship, and it's fraught with dilemmas because it is so deeply conditioning. Here's an illustration of two generators together. And when you're looking at two generators together, what you see is a mutual envelopment. A mutual envelopment. I have done all kinds of relationship courses over the years. And relationship courses for the not-self. You know, ways to understand what is happening to you when you bond with another and in this way, through the aura. And when it came to ideals, and people were always asking me about ideals, what it comes down to is something very basic, and it's so important to grasp. We're suckered by our genes. It is the way that life works. We are designed to be attracted to what we are not in order to maintain the viability of our gene pool. So everything that's open in us is actually in attraction mode, always looking ultimately for the end byproduct, which is some kind of new genetic combination so the species stays alive. It means every kind of basic relationship is rooted in this fundamental conditioning, that difference is everything. But you see, in the ideal, sameness is the perfection. But it's only the perfection when you're non-reproductive. It's not the perfection if you are reproductive. I mean, many of you know that there's a cycle that's coming to an end in 2027, that we're moving into a new global cycle in a time of mutation. And one of the byproducts of that is something we're already experiencing, which is enormous decreases in human fertility. Once we get to a point where reproduction is not the mechanism anymore, then sameness will be a lot more attractive than difference. And it is sameness in the context of the generator that is so important. You see, when they meet each other, this mutual envelopment is something that is deeply, deeply healthy for them. Because you see, they can meet each other in a way that nobody else gets to meet. No one. You know, we're talking about generators, and I'm talking about generators and manifesting generators. They're all generators. You're dealing with about 68% of the population according to the latest statistics. These are the only couples that can actually know that they're telling each other the truth. Think about that. That's quite something. See, there is an absolute to the integrity of the sacral. When you ask the sacral a question and it answers, you know, there is no guile, there is no premeditation, there is no intelligence. There is simply the perfection of that response. And when you have two beings who treat each other in that way, the mutual respect that comes with the recognition of what is correct for the other, that's when you have what most people would call an honest relationship. And you see, for the generator, this is the beginning of building the foundation of, you know, the complexity of auras that make up their lives. And that when they are operating with other generators, and they are operating it correctly in relationship to each other, there is a quantum to what is taking place. In other words, you know, the sum total of their two auras is greater than their contribution. In other words, this is an empowerment of the life force. This is not a one-sided auric process. It is rooted in sameness. You see, every type is as rigidly different from the next as the next. That in fact, the ideal is to be with your own kind. Literally. You know, this is the one way to actually meet the other. Because you see, for manifestors together, or projectors together, or reflectors together, the benefits are different. And rarely do they include truths. See, the generator is what life is about. And you see, life is intended to be built honestly, correctly, out of each breath of the generator field. It's the way they're intended to work. See, I thought it was enough to say to generators, well, look, respond, you know, wait, you know, it'll come. It has to. This is what life is. You know, we're always receiving, we're always catching, you know. I thought it was enough. But you see, everybody needs signposts. When I first started to develop color readings, I really assumed they were for projectors. And I assume so because for the projector, which does not have the advantages of, you know, being an energy type, being able to respond at any moment, that the utilization of their strategy is limited, that to be able to have motivational signposts can keep them aligned between those moments or those days or weeks or months or years between invitations. And so when I began that process, lo and behold, most of the beings that came were projectors, but that's often misleading because they are just deeply curious about the system. But I began to see by doing other types that the benefits were the same. That is, a way for the mind to be occupied in the ongoing process of awakening. See, you can awaken the vehicle easily. Strategy and authority. You will awaken the vehicle. No question about that. But the mind, the passenger with their complexities and their conditioning and their not-self way of seeing, that despite the vehicle operating correctly and the benefits of the vehicle operating correctly, being self-evident does not stop the not-self mind from trying to control the destiny. It doesn't. It doesn't. See, when I began this process of educating people to the nature of the form principle, I assumed that the passenger would simply surrender, you know, surrender to the correctness of the form, because the very experience of life will indicate its validity. But it doesn't. I know people who operate correctly, whose minds are in turmoil, because the passenger is still dealing with the not-self mind. I'm still dealing with the not-self mind. And I've been at this a long time. It's always there. It doesn't make decisions for me, but it's there. Every time it tries to reason something out, it is using my not-self formulas to do that. It's the way it works. All of which is pointed at a pressure that says, come on now, you know, make a decision, listen to what I'm telling you. So color and motivation become something that's enormously important for everyone, because it gives you these moment by moment signposts, not about yourself. That's why I thought it was for projectors. Because it's not about yourself. It's about recognizing the influence of the other. Oh, this is a big story for human beings. And for generators, with their open and enveloping aura, the other is the host story in their life. I mean, it's the host story. In this illustration, you have the connection between the generator and the manifester. And this illustration is sort of misleading. What you see is the generator aura completely enveloping the manifester aura, which is held tightly inside. In a sense, the generator aura is, how can I describe that? Imagine you've got a parachute on the ground, and you know it's billowing open, and you lean into it, you know, you move into it, and it envelops around you. But in fact, you're not on the inside of it. You're on the outside of it, folded around you. And basically, if you can see this image as if it were as if it were a fold. So here, for example, you know, it would be folded and here it would be folded, so that it's not really inside the generator aura at all. And it isn't. In other words, that, yeah, if you're not seeing the illustrations, I mentioned this before, this is you're probably carrying another kind of iVocalize program on your hard drive. So tomorrow you can pick up the illustrations, and I'll do the best to do my radio commentary, so you get an idea. They are very generic illustrations, so but you can pick them up tomorrow. Okay, so this relationship between the generator and the manifester is that the generator tries to envelop, in that sense, the manifester. But the manifester literally stays tightly within its aura. Now, it doesn't mean that there is an impact between them. But if we could, you know, scale the quality of the impact, you know, you would see right away that, you know, a generator with a generator, or a generator with a projector, that the level of impact is much more significant. Because there is this, you know, closed off aura of the manifester. And usually what happens with manifestors in the generator aura is that at some point they feel trapped. And you can see why. You know, at some point they feel trapped. You know, and the trapping is their connection to the life force, but at the same time, they are manifestors after all. And it is a very powerful controlling mechanism. I mean, I have that in the nature of my personal life. I live at home with three generators. And it's very clear to me that there are certain points where, you know, my aura is under enormous pressure from envelopment, and I just get out of the aura and go into my studio and close the door, and you know, allow my aura to breathe again. So it's something to understand about this basic relationship. You can also see something else. Manifestors don't have a lot of impact on generators. And because generators don't have a true envelopment of the manifestor aura, they do not necessarily understand them well, because they don't take them in the same way. The other thing is that the manifestor time is really over. And so there is less need, in that sense, for the generator to really grasp, if you will, the manifestor. Now here, of course, we have the image of the connection between the generator and the projector. This is the most important relationship that we have on the planet. It really is. I don't know who that was. I think that was Deborah, one of these classes somewhere, who said that, you know, maybe type was like sex in a way, meaning gender. And in a very odd sense, you can really see that with generators and projectors. I mean, if you imagine that their relationship was never an intimate one, and I don't think that there is any relationship that is ultimately more unhealthy, and I don't mean to spook anybody if it's your life, but what to do, is the intimate relationship between a projector and a generator. It can be very, very uncomfortable, ultimately, for both of them. And the conditioning is very difficult. First of all, the nature of the projector and the projector aura. You know, projectors have a very unique role. That is, the balance between what is work and what is pleasure, or what is non-work, or what is rest, or what is the life, that this balance is a very, very delicate balance between the generator and the projector. The projector is a recognizing mechanism. Everything about their frequency is about the capacity to be able to focus. Projectors have a focused aura. Literally, it's almost extruded in a way. You know, the aura can be compressed into a focus point, and literally, like a finger or a probe, enter into the vehicle of the other, penetrate the aura of the other. What in essence it penetrates is that it penetrates to the monopole. And basically what it's picking up in that sense is that it picks up what is the self that is expressed through the monopole's work. This is why the projector has a particular gift for being able to understand the other. That is, their whole aura mechanism is focused on the identity, the self in that sense of the other. But the generator in that situation, the generator is always expecting, and expecting is a funny word because it's not about conscious or unconscious, just about the mechanics, you know, is always in essence expecting to be re-enveloped. If you know what I mean, everything for the generator is the envelopment field. I mean, it is, you know, it's what's fair. You know, look at what I'm doing. I'm giving you all of this. I'm taking you in completely, openly, wholly. You know, I'm bearing myself to you right down to my monopole. And, you know, and what are you doing? You know, you're probing around inside. And I'm not getting anything. And I'm not getting anything. And this is the dilemma for the generator in its relationship with the projector. And of course, the projector, on the other hand, while it's doing all that focusing, it's being enveloped by the generator and deeply conditioned in return. And so there is a fundamental discomfort in this relationship. You know, it is only when we begin to have communities of both projectors and generators who operate correctly, who can be brought together in what is a non-intimate framework, only then can we begin to see the advantages in the relationship between the two of them. It is the most dynamic relationship we have on the planet. And all of us who have been involved in design for a while understand that there is a schism that exists, you know, between projectors and generators. It's there. It's there. You know, here I am, a manifester, and I sit out there on the edge, and I think they're all aliens. You know, generators are aliens, and projectors are aliens, and reflectors are really aliens. And they're all aliens. I mean, it's so obvious to me how very different we are. And one of the real dilemmas is how disturbed the generator aura can be if it's not correct. And if it's not operating correctly because it's being deeply penetrated by the other. And the fact of the matter is, the other in this sense of the projector, the fact is that the generator in its natural openness and in its distribution of the life force doesn't always recognize that it's being negatively conditioned. Because it doesn't always get a chance to respond. You know, it doesn't always. So one of the things about, you know, what it is to be a generator is that, yes, we have this magical thing of response, you know, but there is much more to that. By the way, the relationship between the generator and the reflector, it's similar in ways to the way it works with the manifestor, with the difference that reflectors are samplers. And so generators have a limited impact on reflectors, but reflectors have a very limited impact on generators. And the way in which the whole construct of type is set up is that all the focus in the program is on this projector generator 90% of humanity. You know, this is where the whole story is written. And it's not enough, obviously, for generators and their life force, you know, to wake up. The whole program, in that sense, the relationship between the two of them, that this has to be something that awakens. Obviously, the moment that you have projectors and generators operating correctly together, you get a quantum out of that. You know, you get the whole that's greater than the sum of the parts. This is not something, you know, that we really understand at this point, because we do not see it yet. Let's look at color for a moment. Everything about what goes on beneath the line, we don't have any real access to. You know, we're not able to dig down in there, but we can experience it. And most of what we experience of color is what we experience through the personality. You know, the personality is what we have conscious access to. So, you know, we can tune in to the way in which our personality operates. And there's two fundamental things to understand about, you know, your design. Is that, you know, you're dealing with a basic duality. And that basic duality is the relationship between the sun-earth, which is 70% of your being, and the nodes, the south and north node, which is the way in which you're intended to see. You know, the being and the seeing of what life is for you. It is essential to understand about the nature of your nodes that the life that you're here to see, if you do not see it, you know, then there is no transcendence. There is no potential to fulfill your purpose. Everything really is about seeing. It's so fantastic to understand that. It's just about how you see. You see, everything about this planet is about homogenization. And homogenization takes place because we have all this openness and everybody is genetically conditioned to be open to all of those forces. And so we end up with a homogenized vision of what the world is, which basically, in the end, comes down to a duality. You know, there's the dark side and the light side. But it's much more beautiful than that. It is a spectrum. It's a rainbow. It's 32 possible ways to see. And first it limits our vanity, because we can only see 1/32nd. You know, all of us standing and watching a traffic accident, and each of us with our different nodes giving a different description of what we saw. We're intended to see the world differently. Boy, does that create problems in the not-self. Why don't you see the world the way I see it? Human beings say to each other all the time. And yet we're here to see the world correctly. Not only are we here to see it correctly, we're here to be properly motivated in the way we see it. And it is this motivation that's really a key. I mean, it's really a key. Let's imagine that your nodes are a fourth color. And if you look at this chart, you will see that if you go up here, you'll see that the fourth color is the color of need. This is about the master novice. Okay, so imagine what it's like. You're intended to see what is needed. You're intended to see the needs of others. You're intended to see that. You know, this is what you're here to look at, this external world of need. You're here to see the need. You may end up seeing the suffering and all of that, but you're here to see the need. Now, color is an odd thing. It really is. Because it's not stable. Ever. Ever. It is always transferring. Always moving. Always. And it's always moving towards its harmony. Always. So you come into the world and you're supposed to see the need. But instead, you see the fear. And if you see the fear, you abandon the master and the novice. You abandon your way. You don't see it anymore. It's lost. You become a communalist or a separatist. You're motivated and driven in another direction. You see something else. You don't see what you were intended to see. Think about it. Think about you come into the world and you have the sixth color for your nodes. Personality nodes. Remember, what you have conscious access to. Here's innocence. Ah, sweet innocence. Isn't that nice? You look out, and you look out innocently, like a child. Know this, know that. Just looking. Just looking. So you're intended to see the world that way. Innocently. But color transfers. And so what do you see instead? instead of seeing the innocents in the world, instead of seeing the Buddhas sitting on doorsteps, what do you see? You see desire everywhere. You see the leaders and the followers become one yourself, ultimately. See, what you see is where you build your life. The nodes are an environment that we move through in life. It's there for the whole life. The nodes even divide the life into its Uranian half. This is the whole movement for you. And imagine walking down that long road and not seeing properly. I mean, you know, so think about what happens. This is not about you. This is about the impact of the other. This is what this tool is for. You know, for really understanding how the other affects you. And if you are a generator with your open and enveloping aura, how important it is for you to have the highest level of discernment. Discernment. And a discernment that you can give to your mind. Oh, I love to play with the mind. The not-self takes everything so seriously. You know, it wants to run everything. It wants to run our lives. But it can be tricked. It can be fooled into being interested in what's happening to you. It can become an unwilling and very effective ally of your sacral. But you got to give it something productive to do. I mean, you know, you're this six node person, you know, six color. And there you are with your innocence and you're watching TV. And, you know, there's this person who sits down beside you. And when they sit down beside you, they change your motivation. They will pull you away suddenly from your innocence. They will pull you into desire. You will see differently. And you see, if your mind recognizes the shift, you've learned something really essential. Think about, you come in with the fifth color nodes, guilt. What you see is a world that is conditioned and full of conditioners. That's what you see. And you see the mechanism of it, guilt. You see what drives those forces. And you're here to be like that. You're here to see that. You're here to see that everything is about being conditioned or not. But color transfers. And so you end up being hopeful. Oh, it's all okay. I have faith. It'll all turn out just fine. But that's not what you're supposed to see. You're not here to see the hopefulness in the believers. You're not. Those people that take you away from, it has to be fixed, we have to condition it, we have to change them. The ones who tell you, no, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. They're taking you away from the correct way for you to see. They're pulling your motivation away from what is correct for you. It's the other, it's always the other. Always. The world is filled with not-self. I can remember sitting under my fig tree all alone. And I thought, oh, shit. You know, everyone I was going to meet, everyone I was going to have to deal with, everyone that I was going to have to teach, what a trip. Well, it's the same for all of you. Look at the world around you. I mean, look at it. It's full of not-self. People don't know why they're in your aura. And they certainly didn't get there correctly. You know, they're just all moving around. What I call furniture. You know, they're taking up space. Living in the program. operating out of the not-self and suffering, because most of this planet is suffering. It's so easy to be pulled away from what is correct for you. Oh yeah, you can be a generator operating out of response. Obviously, it's going to align you every time you do that. But you see, those people that keep on coming into your life, that keep on pulling you away from your motivation, they're pulling you away from your perfection of your process. If you don't see correctly, you cannot be correct. This environment, the nodes are magic. I mean, they are so special to grasp, I mean, to really grasp. And that, you know, the more attuned you are, remember that it's complex to read the gates, to read the lines, to see very clearly what your color is, what the transference is. But oh, it's a delightful thing to give your mind to do. Remember that. It's so good for your mind. You see, the not-self mind, I have a great deal of respect for the innate potential of human intelligence. It doesn't matter how ignorant and shrouded a consciousness is. There is this spark that is within our species that is there. The passenger needs intellectual evidence. It requires it. Affirmation, confirmation, over and over and over again until the last bit of resistance is eliminated. And the not-self can become the wisdom shadow, the doorway of openness to the beauty of what's out there, what can be seen. The sun, earth, you know, this is 70% of who you are. This is your profile. I mean, this is the costume. This is the grand role that you have on your cross this time. Perfection. Perfection is living out that role. And it's not even living out that role. It is the role living out through you. And through you and your uniqueness, because that's the real magic in all of this. We are all differentiated. We all have a unique capacity. Think about those people with exactly the same configuration as you, but they have different colors. How different it is to see the world with eyes that see only fear, compared to somebody who sees the world and they only see hope. And you think they get along? They don't. They don't see eye to eye at all. It's our world after all. Surrender is a wonderful thing because you surrender to the beauty of the limitation. This is a magnificent limitation. You know, if you can only perfect the seeing that you were given to see, that is more than enough for all of us. It's the process. But your being, how important it is to understand your underlying motivation. Because your being is the expression of your very nature. You know, it's 70% of your imprint. And you see, when you have color transference in terms of your being, you know, this truly is part of just taking you away from who you are. And you can tell. You know, you come in with a first line, first color in your profile. It's a profile. The investigator, introspection. And you know, if you've got a first color, what's underneath is fear. You're here to be driven by your fears. Fear, not in the negative sense, but is the root of intelligence. There is nothing that is more frightening than not knowing. And this is the deepest driving force. But you see, if you come into this life and you're here to express your profile through a motivation of fear, you end up transferring. You end up being needy. You end up looking for a master somewhere who's supposed to teach you what you're supposed to find out yourself. And your whole being is out of whack. You know, I've often described profile as a costume that you grow into as you operate correctly. You know, and every time the color transfers, you know, you get a little rip here or there, or a little, you know, I mean, it's a real dilemma. You just don't operate correctly. And it's the other. It's the other. You will not transfer there on your own. You won't. I mean, that's the thing to understand. You're a generator. You enter into a situation. You respond. It is correct for you in the most absolute way. But at the same time, you have to see how easy it is for you to be very subtly pulled away from being moved correctly. And then you don't get to live out that purpose. You don't. You get the benefit of what human design is for most of the people who meet it. It makes your life easier. That's all. Doesn't mean that, you know, you get some enormous spiritual awakening. You know, for most human beings who meet their strategy and authority and they experiment with it, what they recognize is that it's something that, you know, helps their life. But you see, it's not enough just to be correct in the mechanical sense. Not if you want to awaken. I mean, it's enough in what I do generally, in the sense of, you know, the way human design is presented to the general public. You know, it's presented as, you know, this is a tool that's going to help you make decisions as yourself, and that will benefit you. There's no promise there in being awakened, enlightened, any of these terms. And I see so clearly that you need to engage the mind in order finally to liberate the whole being. You can't ignore it. You can't just simply bypass it with authority. You can't. You can deny it the authority to make decisions for you. But you know, you have to come to grips with it, otherwise it's going to continue to torment you for the rest of your life, because it isn't going to go away. It isn't. It's going to be back there pulling on your open centers, doing its number. You know, we have to impress these people, so we have to say yes, you know. I don't want to get into an argument, so I don't want to take in the emotional waves, so let's say no. You know, and on and on and on and on and on. And always in the background, always pulling on some aspect of your openness. And of course, if the mind does not see the methodology, if the passenger doesn't grasp that it's trapped in a self-punishing game, doesn't get out, can't be awake, doesn't matter whether its life is better because it is mechanically correct. You know, if you're looking for true transformation, and that is the essence of these lectures, the transformation then is something that has to involve your mind. And your mind has to begin to see its own impotence. It has to begin to see that it is a slave to a mechanism. And that your passenger, you know, the true witness in you, can finally just disengage, let go of being in charge. I mean, that's what this is all about. And color is one of those things that is so wonderful for the mind. Because the mind will say, did you notice that? You know, when they were here, did you hear what we said? You know, there's the mind jumping in and saying, hey, look, your motivation's been moved. You know, the mind getting involved. And the more the mind gets involved in it, logic is brutal. It's brutal. I mean, it doesn't matter how angry you get, you cannot change one and one is two. You can't. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. You can stamp your feet. It isn't going to make any difference. And for the mind, it's so much the same. There is this power of the revealed logic to burn a hole in the illusion, to tear a veil away from that particular aspect of the way in which the mind operates in the passenger sees. It's why it's so important, you know, to teach people about the not-self, to understand how enormously powerful it is in our lives. I mean, enormously powerful. It's always there. It's always trying to take advantage. And the best thing that you can do is retrain it. It's a magnificent thing to do. And the other side of that is the benefit that comes with that. See, everything about true grace is rooted in discernment. I mean, this is really what grace is about, because if you discern those forces in your life that are correct for you, you eliminate resistance. You just do. Life is brighter, lighter for you when you have the right associations in your life. And you got to be able to recognize them. You know, you have to be able to see the fact that you can respond to somebody doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have to be awake to the potential that they're going to pull you towards the transference of your motivation. They can. And not because your connection with them is faulty, but because your connection with them demands that you have to be correct completely. You know, the challenge never ends to get to a place of awakeness. It doesn't. I watch in my life my mind and the way in which it lives off of my four open centers. How the way I communicate with others, the way I teach, the way in which knowledge works in me is all a byproduct of my openness. It's not about my fixedness. This wisdom shadow, it is so extraordinary. And you see, this is something that the mind needs to be tempted with, because there is so much to grasp, and nothing that mind likes better than to be able to grasp essential truths, you know, to have them resonate throughout their being. And everything about dealing with color is about understanding that this is about bringing your mind into balance with your correct form. And then watching. And it is an exercise for your passenger to sit back and watch and see who, you know, it's what it's all about. Being able to see what happens when the other impacts you. And again, you must understand that if you are a generator, you have no defense. None. You don't have this focused movement in the aura of the projector. You don't have this, you know, closed off auras of the manifester and the reflector. This is this huge, enormous, open aura. Taking it all in. So there's no protection other than the mechanical correctness, but the awareness, the mental awareness, to be able to see clearly what is happening, to recognize it as it's happening. You can feel it. You can feel those people who will pull you away from your motivation. Yeah. I mean, I've known that through my whole career in human design. I'm a third color personality. I'm here to be a leader. I'm here to be motivated by desire. In essence, because I'm a first line being with so many first lines, the desire to prove something. You know, that's my motivation. And when I'm motivated to be a leader, you know, then I'm operating correctly. But you know, there are so many forces that pull me to the sixth color, to being innocent. I mean, I remember that in my not-self life. I remember what I was like. And I remember how I didn't get involved in anything. I didn't. It was so easy just to sit back and observe. You know, so easy to be innocent. Well, I wasn't innocent. I was wreaking havoc in the lives around me. And of course, my life wasn't very productive. Color is an amazing thing. And you see, there's these forces around us. We all have to deal with it. All of these forces. And it's so easy to be pulled away from what you are. And you see, with this kind of tool, you can begin to hone what is your social aura. And I think that for anyone operating in human design, the need for this social aura is so important. I mean, we've gotten to a stage in design where there's a lot of people now who are involved. It's easier and easier in many cases, not in all, to be able to integrate with those that, you know, share a common understanding of the way things work. But it's so profoundly important for the generator because of how porous they are to the conditioning field of the others. In relationship to the generator and the projector, there's a basic protocol, and I think that this protocol is something that will benefit both types in their relationship with each other. And that is that the generator has to invite the projector to ask. The projector can ask the generator to invite. And this protocol is the only correct way for generators and projectors to deal with each other. The dilemma arises when you have projector-generator relationships, that is, intimacies, because obviously this is a constant connection between the auras. It was my concern for this kind of auric combination that in my earliest readings I began to tell people how necessary it was for them to sleep in their own bed, sleep in their own aura-protected space, and particularly generators. I mean, the level of penetration of a generator while it's sleeping is extraordinary. I mean, it's extraordinary. And, you know, the fact that a generator is going to be in a bed with a projector, as an example, is something that, you know, is just of no benefit at all to either of them. The other thing is about generator exhaustion, because I've talked a lot about it, and it's very important. It's so important for generators to use their energy correctly and to really use it up each day. It's one of the benefits of operating correctly. Even if it doesn't appear that, you know, you have a high activity level, the fact is that when you're operating correctly, you know, you are using your generative energy correctly, the flow of it, the limit of it. And it's very important for generators to, you know, not force an artificial timetable on rest for themselves. One of the interesting things about, you know, a generator in with any other type is how easy it is for the generator to go beyond its point of exhaustion, which is also unhealthy for it. I mean, the whole thing about I've watched it so carefully in my generator children. They've never had a bedtime. And other than a few occasions where that seems like something that's can be taken advantage of in that sense. Their natural response to not having a bedtime is to have a very, very fixed bedtime, in a sense. You know, they run out of gas at about the same time every night. And this is the whole thing about generator well-being, is running out of gas. It's absolutely essential. You're really intended to use it all up each day. And it's so important, because this is a refreshing process for the generator. It's one of the ways in which they literally clean their aura. And remember, because of the envelopment, the generator takes in an enormous number of influences from others. And I'm not just simply talking about auric influences. You know, the pheromones they take in, the bacteria that they take in, you know, just talking to somebody and you exchange millions and millions of things. I mean, you know, there's all these levels. And for the generator, this is something that is very profound. They take in an enormous amount of information. And exhaustion is a way of burning their system clean every evening. And so, you know, exhaustion is something very important. Generators that will, you know, force themselves, they're bored, or they, you know, they don't feel good, or whatever the case may be, you know, or they have some important appointment in the early the next day, you know, when they put themselves through that kind of process, basically what they're doing is holding on to a lot of things that in their vehicle that don't belong there. So, you know, this exhaustion is something that is essential for generators to pay attention with. Go to bed when you're out of gas, you know, and that's something that is really going to be beneficial. Everything about being a generator is, I've tried so many different ways to get across how significant it is for all of us that there is this force that is there, and that this force can be changed. You know, that it can be transformed. I mean, we have no idea what this illusion could look like. We don't, because the illusion is determined by, you know, this sacral envelopment that's taking in everything. And by the way, it's not just taking in the aura of the other person. It's taking in, you know, the other life forms, the animals, the plants. It's taking it all in, absorbing it all. And at the same time in taking it all in, it's putting out this intense life-generating force. It's keeping the movie going. It's also why we need generators to be exhausted at the end of the day, because we know that every ounce of this vitality has gone into the life process, enriched, if you will, the life process. But correctness, you know, correctness is everything. I mean, I've watched all kinds of examples of generators coming to grips with their nature. And They have something that nobody else has. They have this place that they can get to where they honestly don't know what's going to happen. I mean, they just don't know what's going to happen. And it is a place that is so natural for the generator. It's hard to talk about trust in concepts like this, but it really is something to understand about them. There is this, I don't know, it's a kind of cosmic trust that is there. They don't know. Every generator that gets to that place where they truly don't know what they will respond yes or no to has reached a place where the vehicle is correct. Oh, the mind still may be fraught with all of its fears and concerns that it pulls from the various open centers and turns into its not-self propaganda. But the fact is that the vehicle is operating correctly. and everything about the generator's life is not only transformed in that sense mechanically, but I want you to grasp, because of the nature of the aura, the impact that it has on others. See, I've watched people take a radical turn to become a generator, to live their nature. And they were fine. Everybody else was upset. I mean, think about what that's like to be a generator. And begin to imagine that everyone that you're connected to in your life is dependent on your envelopment. You know? And they're dependent on your envelopment as they're used to it, if you know what I mean. They don't want that to change. They like very much holding on to that life force. Generator walks into a room and brings the life force. Not just their force, the force. And of course, this is a deeply fertile, very, very powerful mechanism. And everybody is impacted by it. Everyone. I can feel that at dinner time. My generator children, you know, as they begin to process the food, their motor, you know, is getting a real jump. Eh? It's getting all the necessary, you know, things that it needs to keep it functioning and healthy and powerful. And I can feel these motors, you know, and how powerful they get as they're eating. I feel it going through my whole body. It's not just about the generator's personality permeates the room. It doesn't. It doesn't. It's not about that. You know, it is as silent as, well, as silent can be. It's just the frequency, you know, surrounding everything, sparkling with light. Why do you think that the generator, you know, this motor is so incredibly powerful? It's much more powerful than what the being needs. It is. Oh, there lies the power of the truly great. Every generator is endowed with more power than it will ever actually use, personally, because most of it is put out into the world. I mean, think about that as a generator, those of you that are generators. Most of the energy that you're putting out, most of what you replenish by your daily diet, is to make up for the life force you put out in the world through your enveloping aura. Think about that. And that because you're designed to envelop the other, you take in all of that conditioning and it impacts on your not-self. It impacts on your motivation. It impacts on all of these things. Which is why the generator has to be so rigid in the observance of its strategy and authority. Oh, it's an amazing thing, you know, to have this iron, rock solid, you know, point that you can go to where you can have your truth. I guess it's the thing that impresses me the most about generators. You know, is that there is this impeccable honesty to their correct nature. You may not like it. Don't always have to like it, but it's impeccable. And you can't do anything about it either. You know, you can't argue and you can't do anything. All you can do is bow in respect. You know, here's the truth. It's rare, we humans, that we get to experience on the mundane plane, on a day-to-day basis, with the breath of every human being, truth. Truth. Truth out of themselves. You know, this essence is what we need because this is something that feeds the planet. You know, in the beginning I was only interested in waking up generators. It's all I could think about. You know, every generator that you awaken has more impact than just simply being one being awakened. They impact everything they come into contact with. They envelop it with that life force. They envelop it with its correctness, and everybody knows that. You know, you go back and make contact with those people that you once knew before you've gone through this process as a generator, and they will know right away that you are different, and you will know right away how different you become. And they feel it. See, this is a two-way street for me in this potential that is there in the generator. You know, first this great tease that all they've got to do is experiment with response and they will be correct, and we will begin to correct the frequency of the life force on the planet. And then to see how clearly that every single one of these generators that can awaken, how they can have a disproportional impact on the world around them. And they do. And it all goes back to where I started. It's so simple. It's so simple. And the only enemy is the mind. It's the only one. It's the only thing that stands between anyone and fulfillment of their purpose. Is the mind. It's rooted in everything you're not. It cannot be trusted. It can only be fooled. And the best thing that we can do is be correct and fool the mind and begin to enjoy the best part of the process. Oh, it's nice on the mundane plane when the vehicle has eliminated its resistance. But it's really incredible when the passenger doesn't even pay attention to that anymore, that it can just see. Because there is so much to see. Layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. And when your mind is occupied with the not-self and decision-making and burdens and responsibility and guilt and fate and, you know, when you're stuck with all of these things and it misses the whole show. It doesn't get to see anything at all. It doesn't get to live out what it's intended to see. It doesn't get to fulfill the nature of its being on that plane. It doesn't get any of that. It gets the big, fat, homogenized, not-self realm that the world is made up of. I'd love to see lots of awake generators. It certainly is something that excites me every time that I see a generator, somebody who discovers their generator nature and begins to live out that process. For me, that's a real reward in my work. I mean, it's something that gives me an enormous, enormous satisfaction. And, you know, it is one of the roles of so many of you, because many of you as analysts and teachers, you know, every generator you meet, let them understand their significance and the promise that comes with that. Now, you know, I used to think that it would be a trip if you, you know, do an exaltation number on any kind of type. I've lost that kind of odd morality. I just see it for what it is. This is the life force, and the life force needs to be corrected. And they need to understand how important they are, how important their work is. I mean, most people that get far enough on their fractal line to seek knowledge of themselves and the larger framework are ready to make a contribution. Know within themselves that they need to make some kind of contribution. And here we have it at the most basic level. You know, this is not about you have to learn a skill or a trade or be a missionary, or all you have to do is live correctly as yourself. And it will have its effect. It will impact on the environment around it. It will slowly transform the relationship between you and the other. And that's it. You know, this is what the ride is all about. You're very privileged to get this far. You know, and to see that, yeah, it is an illusion. It's all an illusion. You know, human design's the mechanics of the Maya. It's a way of operating correctly in the illusion. And when your vehicle and your mind are operating correctly in the illusion, you get to see through the sky. You get to see how it all fits, and it makes it worthwhile. And more than that, you bring that 1/32nd of truth to everyone else. We don't really know what there is to see here, because there are all these eyes that don't see eye to eye. And for every being that operates correctly and sees correctly and lives out their lives correctly, there's a truth that's established. And you know, this is part of what the generator has to build. It has to build a world that is an honest representation of its spirit.